And welcome back in GameDaySportsRadio.com. Boji Wood with you on the Monday Morning Blitz, sponsored by Firehouse Subs, over 1,000 locations nationwide. Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. And yes, Rob Smith, defensive coordinator at Minnesota, is out after that atrocious performance versus Illinois on Saturday. Illinois had not beaten a team that had a winning record. As a matter of fact, they had not beaten a team that had won more than two games all year in their three victories, and one of those was against a 1AA school. And so Rob Smith, he's looking for employment, but they still owe him $700,000. So that's not a bad day for Rob all the way around. Mike Bernard, OTM Sports, based out in Las Vegas. Time to bring him in for the college recap. Mike, you got a $700,000 paycheck coming to you this week?
I wish. How you doing, Coach? Yeah, and that's like a penny compared to the contracts at in the ACC and SEC and the other, you know, the big schools.
It is, and these coaches' contracts, they've gotten so crazy. Randy Edsall up at UConn, I don't know if you saw this, Mike, but he got a $2,000 bonus yesterday. And I would love to read his contract, because he got a $2,000 bonus for scoring first in a 49-21 loss or what have you. I mean, it seems like if you get up from your house and come to the office without getting lost, $1,000. I mean, that's basically what these contracts have boiled down to.
Yeah, and I don't ever get to see the verbiage in these contracts, but you and I talk off the air and you tell me some of them, and it's very fascinating, actually. When you talked about Randy Edsall at UConn, remember, he turned them from a doormat into a contender. They actually played in a BCS bowl game. They lost it. But my question is UConn in jeopardy of making football back to 1AA? Remember, we saw Idaho go to bowl games. They did quite the opposite. They went from FBS to FCS. But UConn, they're just not competitive no matter who they play.
They really aren't. And that program has not been the same since he left. We always talk about fit with coaches and programs. That was really a perfect fit with him. He left. He chased the dollars at Maryland. I can't blame him for that. But that program has never had the success since he left, and I think that they thought that you know, hey, we bring Randy back, you know, the enthusiasm comes back, and it just hasn't happened there.
Yeah, maybe they looked at the blueprint of Kansas State, where Bill Snyder left. We went back to doormat status. They were in the tank. They were terrible. And then they brought him back, and he won another title, but it hasn't worked out in UConn.
Not at all. Let's look at the top 25 results from this past weekend. Number 25, Virginia, 6-3 now, lost at home to Pitt Friday night, 23-13. This is a Pitt team we've talked about Jekyll and Hyde teams all year, but this Pitt team really is a Jekyll and Hyde type team. They control the clock, and they ran for 254 yards in what was not great weather conditions. It started out as a monsoon, and the rain let up, but it pretty much rained the whole game. And this Cavaliers, you know, their defense is good, but their offense only put up 13 points and never gave the defense a break.
That's right. And look, the Virginia defense is, I think, one of the top 10 in all of college football, but the offense is in the, you know, well in the bottom tier of all FBS teams. Pittsburgh, you said Jekyll and Hyde, they're the giant killers. I mean, they go out and beat Miami, they go beat Clemson when those teams are in contention for titles. Pitt was getting 7 points in the game. Of course, they win the game outright, so they get the cover. Pittsburgh now 5-4 overall, Coach, but listen, they're 4-1 in ACC play, and they actually lead the ACC Coastal Division.
Number 24, Iowa State, 5-3 after beating Kansas 27-3. Mentioned Rob Smith gone as DC at Minnesota. David Beatty's not going to be back at Kansas after this year. He will finish out the season. A big 24-point road win. And Iowa State, again, 5-3, but they're a good three-loss team. I mean, look, Penn State's a three-loss team, Iowa's a three-loss team, and Mississippi State's a three-loss team.
Right. Those are all quality teams. And the Cyclones, they were favored by 18. They cover it. And listen, since quarterback Brock Purdy joined or actually took over the starting job at quarterback, Iowa State's reeled off four straight wins. They're a team to be reckoned with down the stretch.
Number 23, Fresno State, now sitting at 8-1, beat UNLV 48-3. Now, Jeff Tedford, offensive coach, but this Bulldog team, they're showing off on defense. For their last five games, their opponents hadn't even broke into the double digits, and they lead the West Division of the Mountain West Conference at 5-0.
Yeah, they're one game ahead of another great defensive team, San Diego State. And those two, they meet on November 17th in Fresno. Guys, fans on the East Coast, if you don't watch West Coast football, make that a game to watch.
Boston College, number 22. They're making a believer out of me. They go on the road in Blacksburg, beat Virginia Tech 31-21. BC now 7-2 overall, 4-1 in ACC play. But they've got to take on Clemson.
Yeah, they play number two Clemson next up. In this, in the road win at Virginia Tech, Boston College was a 2-point road favorite. They win, they cover. They're not only 7-2 straight up, they're also 7-2 against the spread.
North Carolina State now 5-2 after trouncing Florida State 47-28. Wolfpack needed to get back on track after coming off back-to-back losses, and they got just what they needed, a blowout win over Florida State.
Yeah, the Wolfpack, they cover easily. The game sails over the total. Florida State, their last three games are at Notre Dame, then they play Boston College and Florida.
Looks like that bowl streak that was in jeopardy last year will come to an end this year. Number 20, Texas A&M, now at 5-4 after losing on the road to Auburn 28-24. The Aggies outscored 14-0 in the fourth quarter. Tigers win despite getting outgained 421-278.
Coach, Auburn opened as a 6.5-point favorite. We previewed the game at kickoff. The point spread was down to 3.5 or 4. So the Tigers get a win or a push against the spread. And it was the first time since A&M has joined the SEC that the home team won in this series.
A&M has to go back on the road and take on Ole Miss this coming week. Auburn is the South's oldest continuous rivalry when they go to Athens to take on the Bulldogs. Number 19, Syracuse, quietly moving up. They're 7-2, beat Wake Forest 41-24. The Orange were outgained, but they win by 17 points. +3 in turnovers is the key to the win for the Orangemen.
Yeah, they were favored by 6.5. They win, they cover. The Orange, they play Louisville next. That should be no problem. Then they play Notre Dame in Yankee Stadium.
Number 18, Mississippi State, 6-3, beat La Tech 45-3 in a tune-up game here. They jumped out to a 21-3 first quarter lead, just kind of put it on cruise control the rest of the way. That Mississippi State defense, they held the Bulldogs to 238 yards.
Yeah, Mississippi State, they were a 23-point favorite. They won by 42. A game I thought where Mississippi State was in a letdown spot, and I thought Tech might keep it close, but not at all. Next up for State, number 1, Alabama in Tuscaloosa.
We'll talk about number 17, Texas, in just a bit. Number 16, Iowa, 6-3, lost to Purdue 38-36 on a last-second field goal. Now, you look at this game, and Iowa, they control the clock for the second straight week, but they fall just short on the road.
Yeah, Purdue was favored by 2, and this game lands right on the number for a push. Purdue's won 5 of their last 6 games, and remember, they started 0-3.
Number 15, Utah, sitting at 6-3 now. A surprising loss to them, to Arizona State, 38-20. I don't know if they weren't ready to play or this Arizona State team is just really coming together under Herm Edwards in his first year. Regardless, the Utes fall to 6-3 overall, 4-3 in the Pac-12 South. You've got Utah, Southern Cal, Arizona, and Arizona State all with 3 conference losses. It's a logjam in the Pac-12 South.
Right. It's anyone's for the taking in the Pac-12 South. In this game, Utah was a 7-point road favorite, and of course, they lost by 18. Next up for Utah is a home game versus Oregon.
We'll talk about number 14 Penn State in just a minute, but number 13 West Virginia, 7-1 now after going on the road and beating number 17 Texas 42-41. Mountaineers ran for 232 yards on the Longhorns. Dana Holgorsen went for the 2 points after scoring with seconds to go. And he said that he knew he was going to do it from the time that they went back on the field for that last drive. Great plan. They did exactly what they needed to do. But now West Virginia, their last three, TCU at Oklahoma State, and then a huge home game, if they can get through those two, a huge home game versus Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's not the easiest schedule, but TCU's way down. Oklahoma State, that's in Stillwater, and that big, huge game in Morgantown. In the Texas game, the Mountaineers were getting 2 points. At game time, it was closer to pick, but they get the cover, they get the win. And that huge game Friday after Thanksgiving when the Sooners come to town.
Number 12, Central Florida. They keep it going, even though falling behind early. They come back and beat Temple to stay perfect at 8-0. I think it's 21 consecutive wins now. After getting behind, UCF came back, made some big plays, forced some turnovers. That was the difference in the game.
Yeah, UCF was favored by 11 or 12. They win by 12, so they get a cover or a push. The Knights closed the season against a one-win Navy team, a one-loss Cincinnati team, and then the finales at South Florida. But South Florida, they lost at home last week to Tulane.
You and I, we've scratched our heads all year over this Missouri team and thinking, gosh, they seem to be better than their actually results are. And we saw that on Saturday. They go into the Swamp and they beat number 11 Florida, who falls to 6-3. The Tigers get a big win, 38-17. It was the Gators' second home loss of the year. Drew Locke, the Missouri quarterback, he was 0-9 versus ranked teams headed into that game, but he got that monkey off of his back with a performance of 24 completions on 32 attempts, 3 touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah, that was a great job by Locke and the Missouri defense as well. Gators were favored by 5 or 6 points. You should have known by looking at the point spread. The Gators are at home in the Swamp. They're only favored by 5 or 6. The point spread told you Missouri would cover. Not only did they cover, they win the game outright by 21.
Next up for Missouri is Vandy. Gators are going to try to rebound with a home game versus South Carolina. Will Muschamp returns to the side of his first head coaching job. Number 10, Ohio State, sitting at 8-1. Now, wasn't easy, but they beat Nebraska 36-31. The Bucks, they played sloppily, 6 fumbles. They lost a couple of those, had an interception in the end zone. As crazy as this sounds, Ohio State, they still control their destiny in the Big Ten East.
They do. The eye test says Michigan's way better, but we'll see. Bucks in this game were favored by 17. Now, they opened as a 24-point favorite over Nebraska. They were bet all the way down to 17. They get the ugly win, but the Huskers get the cover.
Number 8, Washington State. They moved to 8-1 by beating Cal 19-13 with a late score with only about 30 seconds to go in the game. It wasn't easy for Washington State. They had a tough time handling Cal.
They did. They struggled against Cal, and looks like they are struggling to deal with the pressure of November. Washington State opened as a 12-point favorite in that game. They closed as a 7.5-point favorite. The Cougars get the win, but Cal covers the game. It was the first time all year, Coach, that Washington State did not cover.
The Apple Cup on November 23rd, that's going to decide the Pac-12 North, see who goes and plays in that championship game. And Washington State, you mentioned the pressure of November, but I got to give the Cougars credit because they did get out of it. And if you go back and you look at just about every national champion over the last 25 to 30 years, there was one game where they had to struggle late in the year and they had to come up with a big play to maintain their record, maintain their trajectory toward the national championship. Not saying Washington State's going to win the national championship, but they're making their way through this schedule as best they can, and maybe this was the one that they needed to struggle through to concentrate on the rest of the season and play as well as they're capable of playing, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Number seven, Oklahoma, 8-1. They beat Texas Tech 51-46. And just, I'm telling you, there were footballs coming out of my television screen watching this game. Oklahoma ran for 323 yards, too, on the Red Raiders. It's not like it was all passing, but there was a ton of yards between these two teams. And Tech actually led at the half before Alan Bowman suffered kind of a recurrence of his lung injury, had to be taken to the hospital, and obviously wasn't able to play in the second half.
Yeah, that was unfortunate for the young man and for Texas Tech. Oklahoma, they were favored by 14 on the road in this game. They do get the win. They do not get the cover. And, of course, with all those points, the game easily went over the total.
Sooners' next game is Bedlam versus Oklahoma State. That should be a good one, no matter what the records are here. Number six, Georgia. Number nine, Kentucky. They were playing for the SEC East title. The Dogs led it wire to wire. The Kentucky offense just couldn't get it going, and that defense wore down, and it got away from them early. And again, we both know you got to have great defense, first of all, to win a championship, but you've got to have an offense to complement that defense too.
That's right. And Kentucky, while they're much improved, I'm impressed. Their defense is great, but they showed in this game they're just not in the same class as Georgia. I wouldn't call them a pretender because they are good, but they're just not in the same class as Georgia at this point. In the game, Georgia, they were favored by 9.5. They win. They cover. The game goes over. Next game up for Georgia, they've got a home game versus Auburn.
Number five, Michigan and Jim Harbaugh. They continue their revenge tour, as they like to call it. They're sitting at 8-1 after that opening week loss to Notre Dame in South Bend. They annihilated Penn State 42-7. Michigan, they dominated this game from start to finish, held the Nittany Lions to only 186 total yards. First time that Penn State has gained less than 300 yards all year.
Yeah, that defense is the best in college football, period. Michigan opened as a 10-point favorite, and they were bet up to 13, and of course they cover easily. They win by 35. Michigan, that defense, statistically, eye test, everything I can see, they're the best in college football. Next up for Michigan is Rutgers. Of course, that's going to be a cakewalk.
We talked about Washington State earlier in the pressures of November. Notre Dame may have felt a little pressure going into Northwestern. They end up winning the game by 10, 31-21, but the Irish held the Northwestern Wildcats to 246 yards of total offense. Quarterback Ian Book was 22 of 34, two TDs and no picks, but this thing was nip and tuck right down to the final few minutes.
Yeah, it was. It was tied at halftime. Notre Dame was a 10-point favorite. They went exactly by 10, so they get a push. The teams combined for 24 fourth-quarter points, and that put the game over the total by a point or two. The next game for the Irish, a home game against Florida State, but the Seminoles look like they've quit.
We'll talk about number three, LSU, of course, in just a minute. Popping on up to number two, Clemson. I mean, not a whole lot you can say. 77-16 over Louisville. This was the second most lopsided AC game in the history of the conference. The Tigers ran, not total yardage, but they ran for 492 yards.
Right, Coach, I read an article that says Dabo's going to run the score up the rest of the way or something like that. But when you run for 492, what do? You tell your players to lay down?
Listen, I think everyone except the third-string water boy scored for Clemson. Dabo did not do anything to run the score up. You know, we talked about the Seminoles packing it in for the year. I think the Cardinals, I think they packed it in a long time ago.
Yeah, that's what the body language tells me. In this game, Clemson was favored by 39 points. And they won by 61. The Tigers go over the total by themselves. Next game for Clemson, hey, it's not going to be as easy, I don't think. But right now, no one's staying close to Clemson, but a road trip to Boston College.
Everyone was looking forward to that big showdown in the Bayou on Saturday night. Number one, Alabama. Number three, LSU. 29-0. The Tide, they held LSU to less than 200 yards of total offense. Tua threw his first pick of the season, but in the end, it didn't matter. And again, this is a case where LSU's defense just wore down because their offense was not giving them any type of relief.
That's right. And I thought this game was going to be a more high scoring because the Alabama defense has been giving up points, and the LSU offense looked much improved from years past, but it was back to the same old thing. The Alabama defense looked like more like the 16 defense than what they've looked like so far this year. Alabama was favored by 14 on the road. Of course, they win by 29, and that was against the best defense they've faced so far. Next week, they face a Mississippi State defense that I think is better than LSU's, but so far, no defense has any answers for Tua and that Alabama offense.
They don't, and one thing we need to give credit to is that Alabama defense, because they, as you said, they've given up points, but they really haven't given up points when it mattered. They've given up points down the line, and we saw Tua, you know, play well into the to the second half and into the fourth quarter actually, and this Alabama offense, you know, It is as special as advertised, or at least I believe it is. You're going to have to beat Alabama. You're going to have a great defensive matchup against that offense. And the only two schools I think that are out there that can do it is Clemson and Michigan. I think those are the only two schools
Agreed.
Right now that have a defense that can match up. However, I don't know if either one of those two offenses can match up against Alabama's defense, because I think that Alabama's defense is most susceptible to a quarterback like Naylor at Oklahoma or Will Grier at West Virginia.
Well, normally, Alabama defense, they struggle against the mobile running quarterback, you know, mm-hmm. the dual threat guy like a Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. Johnny Manziel. But look, Vegas has Alabama, Clemson, and Michigan as the top three teams, and then the rest are a few notches below. So they agree with what you're saying. Michigan's defense has power and speed, and they have depth. Clemson's defensive front line is probably the best. Michigan's in the top three. Those are the two teams defensively that I think can slow Alabama down. And I think, to be honest with you, even with that said, I think it's going to take – Remember when Ole Miss beat Alabama in back-to-back years? Mm-hmm. Alabama had five turnovers in one game and a bunch of crazy plays. I think Alabama's going to have to help teams by beating themselves.
Yeah, it's again, we've still got a lot of football left to be played. But right now, when you look at this Alabama team, and don't discount LSU. LSU's a good football team. Don't discount them. You know, the Tide, they were tested. They passed the test. To me, as long as this Alabama football team stay focused, I don't see anybody beating them.
Right. And of course, staying healthy. Mm-hmm. And I think Alabama fans should pull for Ohio State to beat Michigan, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. Because I'm not saying Michigan would beat Alabama. Mm-hmm. Alabama would be favored mm-hmm. in that game. But why take a chance? And of course, if Ohio State beats Michigan – Ohio State looks down now, but they could get it going too. But I think Alabama would rather face Ohio State right now.
Mike, I was on the show up in Chicago yesterday afternoon talking about Alabama and Georgia. Of course, you know, of course, we know that's what's going to be the matchup in Atlanta the first weekend in December. And, you know, I was asked about, you know, Georgia's chances of beating Alabama. And my response was this, is that I truly believe that Georgia has the offense, the rushing attack, that can wear down Alabama's defense a little bit because they have so many weapons running the ball, and Jake Fromm is proven that he can stretch the defense a little bit. But even given that, we talked about Michigan and Clemson having those great defenses. You know, again, Georgia's got an offense, I think, that can match up against Alabama. But Georgia's defense, they can't match up against Alabama's offense.
Right, but I think Georgia would have a reasonable shot to beat Alabama in that game. And speaking of that matchup already been decided, has both sides ever been decided on November 3rd, to your knowledge?
I don't remember any time that has happened. But again, maybe one of the years when Alabama was ineligible to go, it may have been decided this early. But I could not pinpoint a year and say yes, definitely that happened.
Well, yeah, because I don't think it can, because it always comes down to the Alabama Auburn game.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to go the West? And that's no slight to LSU, but mm-hmm. That Alabama Auburn game is the deciding game, and it's the last one. So it's quite unusual to have those teams, mm-hmm. both the East and the West, decided. I think it's going to be a great game. I think Georgia's going to have a better opportunity to beat Alabama than some realize. I know I was talking about Clemson and Michigan there, but here's the other thing. Depending on what happens, if Alabama and Georgia win out and play in that game, if Georgia wins, Alabama might still be in the top four. Even if Georgia has two losses and the game's close, they could stay in, because we're just getting started with November.
We really are. Mike, speaking of getting started, we're just getting started with you this week. We'll have you back on tomorrow morning with the NFL recap after tonight's Monday night game. I thought there were some pretty entertaining games Sunday in the NFL that we'll talk about tomorrow. And then also have you back on Wednesday after we get the new and improved college football playoff rankings on Tuesday night after they're released.
Right. I'll be with you tomorrow for the NFL recap, and then on Wednesday we'll take a look at the playoff committee rankings, and it's always fun to compare those mm-hmm. to what the Las Vegas odds makers say.
All right, Mike Bernard, OTM Sports. We'll be right back on GameDaySportsRadio.com.